Well, I don't guess Brother Forshee needs an introduction. I think most of you are acquainted with him. I just learned tonight, though, that he's without a pastorate. He's been pastor down at Faith in Nashville, and he told me that since October, did you say October?
September.
Since September, he hadn't been pastoring. Just he's been preaching by appointment and filling in at different places. And Brother Forshee is a good friend. We've worked together a lot back through the years, and I certainly do appreciate him, appreciate the preaching that he does, and it's my pleasure tonight to present him as a teacher for our lesson this evening. I want you to pray for him that the Lord will bless him and that he'll bless us as well. Brother Forshee.
I want to say it's good to be here tonight, good to see all of you that have come out tonight. Weather has been good today, and we certainly are thankful for the day we've had weather-wise, and I'm thankful to see all of you that have come to be here tonight. We ask for your prayers. I have a good friend sitting back here on the very back pew, a young man that I went through high school with, Jasper Brakefield. And it's good to see him here tonight. And we grew up together and went all the way through school and graduated together. And he's been a Baptist preacher longer than I have, so it's especially good to see him. And Brother Colin Dyer rode up with me tonight from Nashville, and he'll keep me from going to sleep on the way back home. Good to see some of those that I don't get to see, my preacher brethren, many times. And we just would ask for your prayers and appreciate the opportunity to have a little part in your Bible study. Another year, I know this has been a wonderful thing here in this church for numbers of years now, and I'm glad it's still continuing on. Brother Joey, tonight the subject that Brother Miller assigned to me is the relationship between pastors and deacons. And when he told me the subject, I failed to ask him if he wanted me to talk about the good relationships or the bad relationships or the indifferent relationships. But what I would like to speak on tonight or focus on for our thoughts would be the desired relationship between pastors and deacons. By way of introduction, let me just say that we believe that the offices of pastor and deacon are the scripturally appointed offices of the church that Jesus founded. A church may have other offices as needed, but pastors and deacons are the only two ordained officers of the church. And I'd like to begin by taking each one of these individually before we try to discuss the relationship between the two. I want to take the office of pastor and try to bring a few things concerning that office. We find from a study of the Scripture that the word pastor is only found one time in the New Testament. We find other words. We find the word bishop that I believe is about five times used in the New Testament. The word elder is used a number of times. And I believe that these three words, pastor, bishop, and elder, as we find them in the New Testament, that they all refer to the same office. In the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he was writing concerning the gifts that Christ gave to his church. And in Ephesians 4 and 11, the scripture says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I believe it's clear from this passage of scripture that Jesus, as the head of his church, gave the office of pastor to his church. And the purpose was stated in verse 12 that we read. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means to benefit morally and spiritually, to instruct. And that is why that the office of pastor was placed in the church. But in view of our present time in which we live under the conditions, and our society is far different than it was during the days of the New Testament, undoubtedly. What is the scope of the office of the pastor? I find that many people have various expectations of their pastor. Just about as varied as there are people sitting in the pews. We don't find a job description per se in the scriptures, but I believe that we are able to glean some insight from the scriptures concerning this office of pastor. We know that the word that was translated pastor, it means to tend a flock. That's what it means. It means to tend a flock. Jesus called those that belonged to him my sheep. And so a pastor tends the flock. We find that the word that was translated bishop means an overseer. So I believe that a pastor is the overseer spiritually of the flock. That is the work of the pastor of the church that he serves, to be the spiritual overseer of the flock, to have spiritual oversight over that flock. I believe that Jesus gave us one of the clearest pictures of the work of a pastor that we find in all of the scripture, and it's found in a very familiar passage of scripture in the book of John, the 21st chapter, and most of you know that passage of scripture. This was after Jesus was crucified, rose from the grave, and was continuing to walk here upon the earth for a number of days. But Jesus was no longer among them daily as he had been, constantly in their company. And Peter decided that he would go fishing. Some of the other disciples went along with him, and the scripture says that they fished all night and caught nothing. And when they returned to shore the next morning, right after daybreak, I suppose, Jesus was standing on the shore, and he spoke to them and said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship and you'll find." And they cast the net, and the net was so filled with fish that they were unable to draw it into the ship. When they came ashore, they found that Jesus already had fish prepared upon coals and already had the bread prepared, and he invited them to join with him and eat. And the scripture says that when they had dined, that Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." But Jesus asked him again, said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." And for the third time, he asked Peter. Peter got a little aggravated. He said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I believe that the love of Jesus Christ and His church, I believe it is the supreme qualification of a man of God to pastor a church. There's many other qualifications given in the Scripture, but I believe without that love of God that dwells within the heart of that man, that none of the others will matter if he doesn't have that great overriding love of God to feed the sheep with food that is appropriate, whether it be the milk for the babes in Christ or whether it be strong meat for those that are able to receive it, to feed the flock, to feed them upon the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, a young preacher and a young pastor, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And his instructions to Timothy was, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That is the work of the pastor, the supreme work to feed the flock. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture says that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Let us never forget that the office of a pastor is not for the exaltation of the man. It's not to exalt the man, but that the man may perform the work of an under-shepherd until the chief shepherd appears. That is the work of a pastor. In 2 Peter 5 and 1, the scripture says, "The elders which are among you I exhort." This was Peter writing. And he said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Many years ago, I was a young preacher and a young pastor. Brother Paul Bryson spoke some words to me concerning the work of a pastor that really set me aright as to what this work really was about. He said to me one time, he said, God didn't call me to be a doctor. I don't mind going to hospitals, nursing homes, or to people's homes and visit those that are sick. But God didn't call me to be a doctor. God didn't call me to be an undertaker. I don't mind trying to comfort those that are grieved because of the passing of loved ones, preaching funerals and that sort of thing, but God didn't call me to be an undertaker. He said, God called me to preach the gospel. And so it is. That is the work of the pastor of the church, to feed the flock. The office of deacon. We find that the office of deacon was instituted in the church at Jerusalem as a result of a need that arose within that church. You can read that account in Acts chapter 6. And it says that in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles recognized, I believe, that the need was real. Yet if they personally undertook to serve tables, it would be a great hindrance in their work in its spiritual aspects. So their reasoning was that it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Thus, their instructions to the church was for them to choose out men from among them of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and appoint them or set them over this business. Something that needed to be taken care of. There was a need within the church. I believe that there are many and various needs in every church that cannot be met by the pastor alone. And I think that every pastor would agree. There are many needs in every church. I believe that the church is best served by a pastor that is instilled with that great love of Christ and the church of Christ and a sufficient number of deacons to help to bear the burden of the work of carrying out the commission that Christ gave to His church. I believe that it is essential for the well-being of a church that it have a pastor and that it have deacons that share in that work that is so great and so needful and so important. There is a passage of Scripture that is recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, and I realize that this passage of Scripture was not given specific to the relationship of pastors and deacons, but I believe it certainly applies. It says, for we are laborers together with God. And I believe that's the very essence of the relationship between pastors and deacons. They should be laborers together with God, not one above the other. I know that people tend to sometimes put preachers up higher than they ought to be. Sometimes they don't recognize the labors and works of deacons sufficiently as they should. But I believe that pastors and deacons are laborers together with God in the church for the good. I believe that the work of a deacon is certainly far greater than passing the collection plate on Sunday morning or serving at the observance of the Lord's Supper. I think that the work of a deacon is a daily work. I believe that it is extremely important. I understand that it is generally assumed that the duties of a pastor are predominantly spiritual and the duties of deacons is predominantly secular, but even the secular work of a deacon, it doesn't matter what it is, inside the church, outside the church, it just doesn't make any difference. It must be carried out with a spiritual frame of mind, because they are an officer of the church, a representative of the church of Jesus Christ. And that is why I believe that one of the qualifications originally given was that those men must be full of the Holy Ghost. I read just a little earlier from the book of 2 Peter in the 5th chapter, a passage of Scripture concerning pastors, that they are to feed the flock. But it also says that they should be examples to the flock. I believe that when there is that proper relationship between pastors and deacons, a relationship that's highly visible in a church, that they will both be great examples to the flock. And that's what that we need today among our churches. It has been my observation over many years that the churches that are prospering and the churches that are thriving, that you will find a good working relationship between the pastor and the deacon. A relationship that's built upon scriptural grounds, but that must be cultivated by pastors and deacons alike. A deacon may serve one church their whole life. They may serve under many pastors over that period of time. A pastor may serve a number of different churches during their pastorates and labor with many different deacons. I believe that one of the pieces of the foundation of the relationship between pastors and deacons and congregations and pastors and congregations and deacons is found in the book of 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church of the Thessalonians, and he said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and who esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Now, a deacon may not like every trait of a pastor or their particular personality. To be honest, preachers can have some pretty unlovable qualities. That's the truth. But not only deacons, but I believe that every member of the church should esteem the pastor very highly in love for the work's sake. We're commanded to do that. We must do that. The relationship between pastors and deacons, it must be based upon openness and honestness and respect for each other. And that kind of relationship, where that the deacons are actively trying to lift some burden from the pastor to help him, that he can give himself to the Word of God. Whether that's visiting the sick, whatever that might be, there are so many needs today in our churches. But that relationship between the pastor and the deacon, and when you have that desired relationship, I believe that it will serve to foster the same kind of relationship among the entire church, because they will be examples to the whole flock. I want to give you a personal experience. In January of 1981, I was called to pastor Mount Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church, just a few miles from here. And I went there with great trepidation. If you don't know what that word means, it means I was scared to death. Having told my call to preach only about 6 months before, but I found very shortly after that I arrived there that I had six good deacons, or I should say the church had six good deacons. Words just can never express what that meant to me during that time, the first few years that I was getting on the job training. And those deacons were such a support and a help and an encouragement to me, not only to me, but to the entire church. Their leadership and love and was so invaluable as I tried to be a pastor. One of those deacons, Brother Stanley Cole, I preached his funeral a few years ago. And Brother Stanley would sit over on the right side of the church, a second pew back, and probably sat there when Brother Don was pastor there. And every Sunday morning when I got through struggling through another sermon, Brother Stanley Cole would come with his hand outstretched, and he would clasp my hand, and he would look me in the eye and tell me how much he enjoyed my sermon. And although I knew better, it was powerful help to me. It was great encouragement to me to study more, to pray harder, to try to do better the next time. the relationship between pastors and deacons, the desired relationship between pastors and deacons, that relationship of love and respect, when that is present in a church, it will become infectious among the entire congregation. And that is a good thing. In closing, the scripture says in the 133rd Psalm, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment." That ointment that was applied to the head, it ended up covering the whole of Aaron. I believe that this desired relationship between pastors and deacons that are working together for the advancement of the cause of God without seeking personal glory in any way, simply the good of the church, I believe that it will serve to cover the whole church. It will go out, and as I said, it will become infectious throughout the whole body. I thank God for the deacons that I have been able to serve with. I've served the first church that I ever served. I had 6 deacons in that church, such a support and such a help. I pastored a church in Nashville, Tennessee for about 10 years, and through most of that time, the church had one deacon, Brother Colin Dyer, sitting right over here, one of my best friends in the world and one of the best deacons. He was like having 3. That's what it meant. And the relationship that you have, it's so important in the church. If you're a deacon, love your pastor. If you're a pastor, value your deacons and encourage them and help them. I believe it's a two-way street. May God bless you. This is our little message.